I think we can get going here. So this is Phil Frost, your host for today's interview, and I want to thank you all for joining the call, and I especially want to welcome all of our Main Street Inner Circle members. A little housekeeping to get started. If you have any questions, you can post them to our Facebook fan page. Just go to facebook.com/MainStreetROI, and you'll see the first post at the top is for this interview. So you can post your questions as comments, and we'll answer them at the end of this call. So today, I'm excited to be interviewing Mark Senecola, CEO of Bannerview, a web design and online marketing company based in Las Vegas. If you want to attract more customers to your business, and if you want to compete with bigger companies in your market, then you need to establish the right brand image. And on today's call, Mark's going to reveal how to create an irresistible brand on a limited budget. So, Mark, welcome to Insider Marketing Secrets. We're really excited to have you.
Phil, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
And to get things started, can you give a little background about you and your business?
Yeah, like you mentioned, Mark Senecola, president and CEO of Bannerview.com, a company I founded back in 1999. And my background is as a network engineer. I came in as a certified Novell engineer when Novell was still pretty well respected in the networking industry, and I was also a programmer. And I got together with some buddies of mine, and we founded a company. And along with that, I also have a degree in computer information systems. But my passion's really been in the marketing and business side of things. So I've kind of blended the technology that I've learned through school and through experience along with the business side, which I've mostly gained through experience and reading and self-studies. So I'm excited to be able to kind of combine the two, which is, I think, a unique aspect, because a lot of times in technology you get people that are very focused on the engineering side, or they're focused well on the marketing side and the business side, and I bring those two together to help really grow our brand.
That's great. Yeah, I actually studied engineering as well, and find it's pretty beneficial to apply a lot of the engineering teachings and systems to marketing. So definitely excited to have you on here. And to get things started, can you explain what is branding and kind of elaborate on personal branding versus company branding?
Yeah, and when it comes to branding, it's really how you position your image in the eyes of the consumer, business partners, and the community in general. So it doesn't really have a lot to do with necessarily just your logo or, you know, a tagline or a fancy name. Those are all components of a brand, but it really comes down to understanding how your image is being perceived in the world. And, of course, a website is a key component of that, and we always recommend that utilize your website as the core foundation for establishing your brand, because all references can now point back to that easily, and people that are interested in your brand can use your website as a tool to get more information about you.
Okay. And why would you say branding is so critical for a small business?
Well, a lot of small businesses, you know, they're thinking, we don't have a budget like Coca-Cola does. We can't spend billions of dollars a year just on cool advertising campaigns that don't necessarily return a direct result. And a lot of small businesses are focused on more of lead generation activities, you know, doing things that they can see an immediate return. However, branding is one of those things that, when done properly, can actually enhance all of your lead generation efforts. And I'll give you an example. It's much easier to, if let's say you're going to do cold calling, or somebody you've never met before and you're trying to get them to do business with your company. Well, if they've never heard of your company, that's the very first hurdle that you have to overcome. So branding is a way to already get your foot in the door, so they understand, or they, at least they recognize who you are, so they're already kind of, that shield is being lowered a little bit because they recognize your name. And if they recognize your name, you have a bigger foot in the door in order to try to sell your product or service.
Okay, that makes sense. And you mentioned direct response or lead generation advertising. Do you recommend combining branding with your direct response, or do you see them as completely separate?
No, actually, they can be combined very effectively, and actually I think when you do leverage the two together, you're going to get better results from both. So, for example, like I said, if you're trying to call into somebody or you're trying to get people to recognize your company because you want to sell them a product or service, if they've also seen your brand in other places, and you put the two together, then they're more likely to respond because, one, they're seeing it around the same time and you're filling a need that they have, you know, especially if you're doing pay-per-click advertising on Google and you're trying to serve a particular need. Well, they already have a purchase intent, and people want to purchase from brands that they recognize, so they feel comfortable with making that purchase or that business decision.
Right.
And so actually, if you have a strong brand, it can lower the cost of your other marketing efforts.
Yeah, that makes sense. And especially with pay-per-click advertising, I imagine your click-through rate's going to go up if they recognize your brand, and in turn, that'll lower your cost per click.
Exactly, because obviously, you know, Google has their algorithms, and the keywords that are performing better are going to get preferential treatment over other advertising campaigns that aren't doing as well. So if people are recognizing your brand, and if you use your brand within your Google advertising, then you can also, even if people aren't clicking on your particular keyword, they're still seeing your brand if done effectively. So that's a great way to also lower your overall campaign costs.
Okay, great. If you had just one piece of advice for a small business owner when it comes to branding, what would you say that would be?
Well, one of the things is that a lot of people say, you know, your brand's not about what you say about your brand, it's about what others say. But I'm going to kind of twist that here for a minute and tell you a little story. I do a lot of networking in the local Las Vegas community. I've been doing it for a lot of years. That's been a great way to get our brand out there, a very cost-effective strategy and low-cost way to get out there. And our original company, the corporate entity, is actually a combination of my last name, which is Senecola, and Helvin, which our vice president and one of the other founders of the company is Jeff Helvin. And so our company name, because we have an ego, and a lot of entrepreneurs do, so we wanted the company name to be Senecola Helvin Enterprises. And under that name, we were going to do a lot of different things, not just developing websites and website-related software, but do a number of different things. So when I went out into the community and people asked me what I did and who I was, I told them, I said, well, I'm Mark Senecola from Senecola Helvin Enterprises, and we provide e-business solutions under the BannerView.com name. Well, I just threw out a bunch of different names to them.
Right.
Some of them they can't even probably pronounce. And so I always struggled with that when I was out there networking within the community. And we struggled with this for about 8 or 9 years. And I talk about this in my book, The Banner Brand. And that's one of the things that I always said, how can I make it easier? You know, we've got all these different brand names. We've got all these different names I'm trying to throw out there. Maybe we just rally around one particular one, and we'll see if the other things fall into place. So after struggling with this for about 8 or 9 years, we decided, okay, we're gonna just operate exclusively under the BannerView.com name and not really use Senecola Helvin Enterprises. We'll just have that as our corporate entity, behind the scenes kind of thing. And so we decided to take that leap. And the reason why I tell this story is because a lot of times, you know, it could be the greatest name in the world, but if you're not proud of it yourself and you're not willing to stand behind it because there's confusion in your own mind, well, then it doesn't matter how great it is, you're never going to put the effort into it to get it out there. So while it's important to understand what other people think about your brand, you got to remember that it starts with you, the entrepreneur, the small business owner, to really rally behind that name, because if you're not going to rally behind it, it'll never get out there to a point where other people can rally behind it. So that's really the kind of key takeaway that I want to tell people, is that when it comes to branding, pick something that you're passionate about and really push aside what other people may think about your name, because a lot of times people ask their friends, oh, what do you think of this name, or they'll do a focus group. None of that really matters. It only matters if the brand is important to you, because if it's important to you, then you're more likely to go out there, represent that brand properly, and give it the ammunition it needs to market it into the business community.
Yeah, that definitely makes sense. So you actually made a big switch after 8 or 9 years. Was that hard? How long did that take you to actually kind of switch gears with your branding?
Well, you know, it was a big undertaking just from the fact that we had a lot of collateral material out there under, you know, kind of the combined name. And so we just had to redo a number of our collateral materials. And since we were using BannerView.com as kind of a division of the corporate entity and a sub-brand of that corporate entity, it made it a little bit easier to make that transition. But it was a little bit painful because, it was funny because I had a guy I knew in the community we were trying to do business with, and he was one of the few people that could remember how to pronounce Santa Cola Elvin Enterprises. And so as soon as I said we were switching from, you know, going under that name, he's like, "Man, I just figured out how to pronounce the name and got comfortable with it. Now you're changing it on me." So even with a name like that, you still run into the challenge that there's going to be some people out there that know the name, the previous name, and so when you're exclusively operating under a different name and you're making a branding change, it's going to be painful for a short period of time. But if you do it properly and you have everything lined up so that way you do it all at once, and that's what I recommend. It's not try to do it as a gradual rollout, but you just kind of have to flip that switch and have everything ready to go, from your website to your business cards to all of your advertising. That branding needs to be changed immediately.
And did you notice, was there a noticeable difference once you kind of flipped the switch in terms of maybe how people were responding in person, over the phone, and maybe even with your online advertising?
You know, I wouldn't say that I maybe noticed something externally, but I immediately noticed something that was happening internally, which affected how we were perceived. And that was everybody rallied behind the name Bannerview.com because it was easy to say, it was easy for people to understand and spell and all of those nice things. So we were a lot more comfortable with the brand itself. And I think that kind of was felt through to the audience we were targeting. So I wouldn't say necessarily that we got a lot of feedback from somebody saying, "Oh, I like the name better," or it pretty much didn't become an issue at that point. So it was a non-issue. It wasn't like, "How do you spell that again?" And what does that mean again?
Right.
It was a lot easier for us to convey to our external audience. So it just made things a lot easier on everybody. And I think that comes through the other side. So I just go back to, you know, the advice and saying that, you know, it's got to be important to you. It's got to mean something to you. And if it does, then everybody within your organization can rally behind it. And at the same time, is that's going to be felt on the other side from the customer's perspective.
Okay, that makes sense. Could you walk through kind of the 3 to 5 steps to do branding right on a limited budget?
Well, obviously the first thing is, and this is a very inexpensive thing to do, is obviously secure your names. You know, as far as securing your domain name, you definitely want to try to get a .com, if at all, available. Or if you're a small business and you're localized and you can't get the name generic, maybe you can get it localized. Obviously, you know, I'm checking to make sure that name's not used locally or trademark, going to run into trademark issues. But definitely make sure that you have the name. And once you secure your name, then really the next step is looking at the logo. You know, I mean, the logo still plays an important role because you want to be able to represent your company. If you want to put it on, you want to put it on clothing, which I do. I regularly wear a T-shirt that's got the big Bannerview.com logo on it. I also wear, you know, we have polo shirts here. If you can put it on pens, you want to put it on hats, whatever you want to put it on, you got to be proud of it. It has to be what you want, because you have to be proud of it, first of all, to be willing to spend the money to put it out there. It doesn't matter what other people think in the initial stages, is you can get that feedback and make adjustments. And that's one of the things that we did. You know, it took us several years to kind of go from the original Bannerview.com logo that we had, which is more of a 2D effect, to more of a 3D effect, and that was kind of an evolution. So if you're going to do a branding change, I say, well, do the branding change all at once, but it's okay if your brand evolves. That's never been an issue. So it can definitely evolve from, you know, when you originally conceptualized it and over the years. And obviously Apple's a great example. When they started off and they had the multicolored, rainbow-colored Apple, and they switched more to the one or two-color Apple logo. But everybody recognized the Apple logo, no matter what color it's in. So that's one of the things that you want to say, okay, how's this going to look on different mediums? Is it going to look great on the web? Is it going to look great in the real world? Can we use different colors behind it and people still know what it means? So that's really the second step once you've identified the name that you're going to use. And then the third step, of course, is, you know, but beyond the marketing plan and your product plan and having all that in place, is putting the website together. You know, the website is probably the most important part of your brand. And while it only exists online, obviously, since it's the web, but it's the main central point of which all of your marketing efforts should point back to, because your website is one of the things that you have full control over, whereas you don't have control over what happens on Facebook. You don't have control over what happens on Twitter. You don't necessarily have control over what could possibly happen on YouTube if you're uploading videos. So, right. But your website, you've got a lot more control, and if you do it right and you have all the arrows pointing back to your website, you have a much more effective strategy. So I would say name, logo, website. Those are the three things in that order that you need to secure and put in place.
Okay, and any just kind of quick tips in terms of what you'd recommend for getting designs done, getting websites created? Obviously, I think you'd recommend yourself.
Yeah, I'm a little bit biased there, Phil, when it comes to developing a website. But we actually work with a number of different organizations, ranging from other graphic designers, actually other web developers even, marketing agencies, and then organizations that have already created, whether it's in-house or they had something already created, when they come to us, as far as a logo is concerned. But really, it just comes down to, it has to be something that you're happy with. Because, again, you got to remember, it's your business, and you have to be the first person that's proud enough of your logo and your brand in order to put it out there. And so definitely, once you get that right, then you can move on to the next steps. But I also say that you definitely should have it done professionally. You know, a lot of times, especially small businesses that are on a budget, think, oh, we can't afford a professional organization to develop our website, or maybe we're going to do one of these lower cost, do-it-yourself types of services. And, you know, usually when I hear that from a new business owner or an existing business owner, I say, I have to ask the question, are you in the business of developing websites? And they'll kind of give me a look and they'll say, well, no. And I'm saying, well, why are you wasting your time being in the website development business? Shouldn't you be focused on what you do? And they kind of look puzzled for a minute and they go, yeah, I guess that's true. I need to be focused on what's going to make us money. And unless you're a web designer, well, leave it up to the professionals to do the web design. And in the long run, it'll definitely save you money by getting it done right the first time, but then also is the image that you're portraying to your potential customer base is going to be much more effective.
Yeah, absolutely, and especially with design. I mean, I've had experience with poor design, mediocre design, and great design. It's just, it's worth the money to get a great designer, I think.
Yeah, definitely. And you can also, obviously, if you're going to go to a designer, you definitely need to see portfolio examples, maybe even call some of their customers to see how the experience was. Because a lot of times what you'll see isn't necessarily the first product that they churned out. And, different designers are going to have different styles. So I would definitely recommend, before you even go to a designer, is that you have some sort of concept in your mind. You know, either sketch it out, even if you're not an artist, you know, maybe do some rough sketches of what you'd like, look at some other logos to get some ideas, understand what colors you want to have, what you like, and before just going in there blindly and telling a designer, saying, hey, create me a brand. You know, they can come up with the greatest brand in the world, but if it's not your idea, then you're not going to get behind it 100% and be willing to invest in order to market that brand.
Yeah, that definitely makes sense. Now, with all your experience, I'm sure you've seen a lot of mistakes, but what would you say are some of the biggest mistakes you've seen business owners make with their branding and specifically their websites?
Trying to do it themselves. I mean, that's probably the number one issue that I see, is either trying to do it themselves or doing nothing at all because they think that the costs are not affordable. And I can tell you that if you can't afford to put money into your business and do your brand properly, then you're going to have a long uphill battle. Too many times I see businesses that think they can get away with doing it themselves. And if you do the math and you figure out how much time they're spending on trying to develop their own website or develop their own creative when they're not a creative, you know, this isn't their job, and you were to put those hours towards what their primary business is and have them stay focused, then they would be much better off. And in the long run, obviously, they're going to spend a lot less money. So that's kind of the biggest thing that I see business owners doing, is trying to do too many things themselves when, especially getting started, you know, there's a lot of opportunities to outsource to companies that can definitely help take you from zero to 60 very quickly.
Yeah, definitely agree with that. And in terms of getting outside help, do you have any tips or kind of best practices?
Yeah, I mean, as far as or Phil, you're talking about just what they should look out for when hiring a consultant or a designer.
Yeah, maybe what they should look out for, maybe some of the things that you recommend they ask before hiring someone.
Yeah, they really need to look at the track record of the reliability of that person or organization. Because a lot of times, especially in our business and the web development business, there's a lot of people that say they can do web development, and that's true. You know, but a lot of times if they're doing it on the side and then they get really busy and then all of a sudden you're a client that's paying them money and you can't get a hold of them anymore. So you really need to look at their references, look at what happens if, let's say, the primary person you're working with isn't able to work with you anymore. Is there somebody else within the organization that can take over? Do they have depth within their organization to support you ongoing? And then also, can they give you a transition plan? Because a lot of times we work with small businesses, and then those small businesses become big businesses. And at that point, they want to bring things in-house. And sometimes it can be a struggle from going from outsourcing to bringing something in-house. So if you can work with an organization and ask them the questions, how are you going to help us transition if we do want to bring this in-house? And if they don't have a good response for you, then you know you need to look at possibly other opportunities.
Okay. Yeah, I can definitely see how that's an issue. A lot of businesses we talk to have trouble with finding their website developer when they need edits, and then that's always an issue.
Right, and I guess one of the things that I can mention is you know one of the services that we provide is something unique in our industry that makes it affordable for small businesses to get a professional brand, put their business online, and get all the tools they need to be successful. So we created what we call a website leasing program. So as opposed to going to a designer and a programmer and a hosting company and all of these disparate organizations, you can go to one organization, Bannerview.com, and we can do all of these things. We do them all here in-house. And by being able to do them all in-house, all of our different departments, the designers are talking to the developers are talking to our marketing team. The marketing team, you know, of course, is communicating back with the account manager. So that way we're all collaborative in the approach, and we can keep the costs lower. So as opposed to spending a bunch of money up front, you know, putting thousands of dollars on getting a professionally designed website, maybe getting e-commerce capabilities, doing email marketing, doing blogging, you know, maybe if you're an organization, you need to register people for events, and trying to go to all these different vendors and get somebody to put them all together, we can do it under our affordable website leasing program. So we actually have programs starting as little as $99.95 per month, and that includes the design of your website. And I'm not talking about just a templated website that you can get from, you know, 1&1 or GoDaddy and build it all yourself. No, this is actually us designing a custom-built website specific to your business and with the content you provide.
Wow, that's a great value there. Who would you recommend that? Is that good for more of a small business, services type business, online business? Who would you say that's a good fit for?
Actually, it's a great fit for a lot of different organizations. I mean, we work with anything from you know solo entrepreneurs to organizations that have hundreds of employees. And the nice thing about it is that we can grow with the business. So we can start off on a package that's very affordable, get that foundation in place, and then grow as their business needs grow. So we've developed a product called BannerOS, which BannerOS is our website management platform that manages all aspects of a business's online operations. And then within that platform, we're able to plug in a lot of the common features that many businesses want, such as email marketing, such as blogging, such as survey tools, such as event calendars, e-commerce, and the list goes on. So we're able to take all those things and scale it out as that business grows. So we can come in whether you're just getting started or you're an existing organization that needs to take it to that next level.
That's cool. And I'm sure a lot of people on the line want to find out more about that. Is there a URL they should go to?
Yeah, absolutely. They can go to Bannerview.com, and then at the top there's a link for web design packages. And then earlier in the conversation, Phil, you mentioned, what is the difference between a personal brand and kind of a corporate brand? And if now's a good time, I can kind of touch upon that.
Sure.
And I do want people to understand that there's actually, if you think about the great entrepreneurs out there, the Bill Gates of the world and the Steve Jobs of the world, you immediately, when you hear their name, you associate it with their respective companies. When you say Steve Jobs, what do you think of, Phil?
Steve Jobs, Apple.
Exactly. I mean, even though he was the owner of Pixar, you don't think of Pixar. You just
Right.
don't. You think of him as at Apple. And when you think of Bill Gates, you don't think of the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation per se. You immediately think of Microsoft. So that's powerful personal branding that also leverages corporate branding and vice versa. And so what I mean by that is that people that have a strong personal brand can bring that as a valued asset to an organization. So let's say if Steve Jobs, while he's still alive, when he did go to another organization, when he founded Next Computer, and when he did work with Pixar, his brand of value came with it. It was associated with these other companies because of his past successes. So as an individual, if you're properly branding yourself first, then you can leverage that when you go to an organization, whether you're looking for a job or you find yourself founding your own organization, you want to build your brand. Because let's face it, a lot of founders, after a few years, and they decide, well, you know what, I want to go and do bigger and better things, and they move on to another organization, the only thing they get to take with them is the brand. All
Right.
of the everything else stays with their prior organization. And then the opposite is true. When you meet people on the street and you find somebody, they work for Google, you go, oh, you work for Google. Then all of a sudden you're interested in speaking with them, even though you don't know who they are, but you know they're associated with the brand Google. And since it's a very strong brand, you're intrigued by that and you want to know more. So it works both ways. You can definitely leverage the brand of the organization you're working for if they have a strong brand, but then the organization itself can leverage your brand if you have a strong personal brand. So that's kind of the difference in how they can work together.
Okay, do you have any quick tips for building up your personal brand versus your company brand?
Yeah, I think your personal brand needs to show the personal side of you as well as the professional side of you. A lot of times when we go out there in the community and I'm networking amongst other business professionals, I only get to see one side of them. I get to see
Right.
who they work for, what they do for a living, but I don't get to hear about, what they do on the weekends, what kind of hobbies they have, do they have a family, what kind of person is this person outside of work? And I think if you do it effectively, you can develop your own personal brand that can be independent of your professional life. But also, you can't say I'm a different person at work as I'm just out on the street. You're still the same person. But you can cross that bridge a little bit more effectively by giving people a little bit of insight to who you are personally, not just professionally.
Yeah, and I would say it definitely makes you more attractive or more appealing to your prospects as well. It just gives you more depth of your personality. 'Cause people don't really want to work with a company. They really want to work with people. And if you can kind of open up and show your personality, I think you'll definitely get more business that way.
Yeah, you'll definitely get more business, but also, like you said, you'll maintain a stronger relationship because people aren't looking to do business with companies, they're looking to do business with people. People do business with people, not companies. And it's the people within that organization or organizations that really make the difference and is the reason why people do business with them. Even though there's a lot of automation going on right now, there's still kind of that need for human beings to have face-to-face interaction or even, verbal interaction because there's a lot that can get accomplished that machines can't necessarily, the nuances of relationships between people that get things done.
Yeah, absolutely. You mentioned your book. Is there a URL to go grab that if anyone wanted to read it?
Yeah, so the book is called The Banner Brand, so you can go to thebannerbrand.com to learn more information about it. The subtitle of the book is Small Business Success Comes from a Banner Brand, Build It on a Budget. And what the book's premise is about is basically it's the tips and advice and the things that I've learned over the years on how I've built my business, some of the mistakes that we've made. But I used to think that branding was a big waste of time and very expensive and a big waste of money. And I found out that I was really wrong, because over the years we've been able to effectively utilize low-cost branding strategies that over time have really produced a big result for our organization. When I go out in the community, people know who I am. They see we have cars that are wrapped that drive around town, so they see that, then they see me wearing the t-shirt. They see when they get a newsletter from us that has tips and advice for conducting business online. So these are all the things that we've started doing that have been very cost effective. And then even the book itself is a branding tool. It's like a business card on steroids. You know, when you can tell people that you're a published author and you've written a book, that's another talking point, and also adds additional credibility to, you know, your background. I've done public speaking. So throughout my public speaking opportunities, I've been able to leverage the book, leverage my background, but at the same time, is leverage the brand that I represent. And so the book kind of has all these different tips and advice for leveraging yourself as well as your company, and combining that together to really build a very strong brand, but do it cost effectively.
Yeah, you mentioned wrapping your car. I'm intrigued by that. Was that a pretty cost-effective branding strategy?
It was. It's a funny story, actually. I got this harebrained idea that myself and Jeff Helvin, who's our vice president and one of the co-founders, and I called him up I think it was on a Saturday, and I said, you know what? What if we traded our cars in and wrapped them in our company logo and marketing materials? And I said, we could use it as a write-off. We could drive around town, and it'd be a mobile billboard. And we ended up doing it. So long story short, we did it. It was actually, I think, per wrap, you know, they're about $1,500 to wrap the car. So we went out and we leased cars, and then we actually turned it into an employee benefit. So it went from just the two of us having the cars and driving around town to now five cars within the organization, and some of our other employees benefit from that. And I think probably within the first 30 to 60 days, we already paid for one of the cars. I mean, completely.
Oh, wow.
For the entire three-year lease, because of one of the contracts we signed, because somebody saw the car, they went to our website, they called us on the phone, and then we ended up doing business with them. So it's a great branding tool, very cost effective, an employee benefit to some of the employees that drive the cars. And so it was kind of a win-win all the way around.
Yeah, it's amazing. I unfortunately don't have a car living in New York City, but I got to find a way around that.
Yeah, well, so those are the kind of things that I talk about in the book, you know, finding unique ways to brand yourself that's different than what other people do. And one of the strategies that we actually used with the cars is I kind of have a philosophy, and this goes back to branding, is that I want people to have at least three different impressions of our brand before I attempt to sell them something. So, for example, let's say I meet somebody at an event and I hand them a business card. That's a brand impression. Then let's say that same person sees me driving away or sees me on a different day or sees one of our cars out there. That's another branding impression. Then if I collected their business card and let's say they got on our email marketing list, the next time our newsletter goes out, that's another brand impression. So I always try to find at least three brand impressions before I attempt to say, hey, you know, okay, you want a website, great, let's start talking pricing. And the more brand impressions that you can impose on somebody, the more likely that they are to be comfortable with you and be more receptive to listening to your value proposition, and then not using price as big of a concern to doing business with you. Because people like to do business with people they know, people they trust, people they like. And
right.
That kind of trumps just the lowest price. And those are the kind of customers that we want, you know, because look, in any business that you're in, you're never going to have the lowest price. There's always somebody out there that's going to either offer it for free or even maybe even pay somebody to do business with them. But
right.
The reality of it is that people want to do business with people that they trust. And that's the kind of customer that I think most small to mid-sized businesses want, is they want that customer that's going to be loyal and not just shopping around as soon as somebody offers the lowest price in front of them.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we covered a lot here. Any final advice or anything I should have asked but didn't?
Yeah, you know, one of the things that I like to tell people, you know, and this is kind of a common saying, it's not what you know, it's who you know. Well, actually, I don't think it's what you know or even who you know. It's really about who knows you. And branding is a great way to get people to know you. You know, and those are the people that are going to be holding the keys to your future success. It's the people that know you that are going to enable you to actually conduct business with them. So I think we pretty much, you know, covered a pretty good variety of different, you know, tips and advice when it comes to branding and websites and even wrapping your car.
Yeah, by far my favorite strategy. I talked Pete into doing that in San Francisco.
Exactly.
So yeah, this was great. I really appreciate you taking the time to join me on this call, and I'm going to follow up with everyone that registered with the URLs you provided here today with bannerview.com to check out your web design packages, and also thebannerbrand.com to go grab your book.
Great. No, I appreciate that, Phil. It was great speaking with you, and looking forward to hopefully we can do it again in the future.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, enjoy the rest of your day, and again, thanks for taking the time.
All right, we'll talk to you soon.
All right, take care. Bye.
All right, bye-bye.